And I am Representative Lynn Williams. I represent Bar Harbor and the towns of Mount Desert, Lemoyne, and the Cranberry Isles. And this is my second term and my second time on the Transportation Committee. Who do we have next? Hello, sir. Would you introduce yourself to the committee, please?
Good afternoon, Representative Williams. I'm Matthew Burns with the Maine Port Authority. I prepared some remarks just to give you an overview of what our organization does, and I'd like to present those to you, if that's all right. Okay, great. Members of the Joint Standing Committee on Transportation, good afternoon again. Thanks very much for the invitation to come up and speak with you today. Like to just introduce myself today, tell you a little bit about what the Maine Port Authority does, but I just want to say that I look forward to working with you and providing myself as a resource to this committee to help further the important work that's ongoing throughout Maine's port system. Maine's extremely fortunate to have a robust port and marine transportation system. There's three deep water commercial ports in the state: Portland, Searsport, and Eastport, and a multitude of small to medium-sized fishing and small vessel ports and harbors up and down the coastline. The Maine Port Authority plans, develops, maintains, operates, and advocates for ports in the state of Maine. We're involved in all things touching saltwater in the state, and there's tremendous opportunities for Maine to enhance existing business and create new opportunities that utilize our ports. The Maine Port Authority has an office at the International Marine Terminal in Portland. Our 25-acre site is home to Maine's only deepwater container shipping terminal and has experienced substantial growth since the arrival of Icelandic shipping line Eimskip in 2013. An underutilized and derelict property with little to no shipping activity is now home to a weekly container liner service that connects Maine and the Northeast to markets in Europe and Asia. Competitive rates and outstanding customer service allow Maine businesses to have access to a cost-competitive, efficient, and reliable option of ocean freight, and to bring their products to new markets. With a brand new cold storage facility to be delivered in 2024, upgrades to the facility, and the purchase of new port equipment, the Portland IMT is a refrigerated logistics hub in New England that's competitive now with Boston and St. John, New Brunswick. Searsport is Maine's most versatile seaport, can handle a wide range of commodities. The Maine Port Authority has been involved in infrastructure and equipment projects at the Mack Point Terminal, and also been involved in several major initiatives to improve the port, including dredging in the Federal Navigation Channel and offshore wind port development. Eastport is the deepest natural seaport in the continental United States and is home to the Estes Head Cargo Facility, as well as the Eastport Breakwater Facility. The port can handle bulk and break bulk commodities and cruise passengers. Recently, the Maine Port Authority, just this summer, as a matter of fact, relocated a 400-ton mobile harbor crane from the Port of Portland to Estes Head to help enhance the competitiveness of the port facility. We're close partners with the Eastport Port Authority and look forward to developing new business for the port with several planned projects over the next few years. I just want to close by saying that I want to thank you all again for your time today. The future is very bright for Maine's ports, and the Maine Port Authority is at the forefront of planning investments and bringing new opportunities to our ports for the benefit of Maine people. As a former merchant mariner, it's a great honor to be back in my home state doing this work that I love while being able to go home to my family every night. It would be a great pleasure to host all of you, members of the Transportation Committee, at a tour of any of our seaports. I'd personally love the ability to do that. And I'd also be happy to provide more information to any and all of you regarding our port system at any time that you request. So again, thank you for your time, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. I have a question, or maybe a clarification.
Sure.
You do have cruise ships coming into Portland, don't you?
Yes, ma'am, that's correct.
Okay. In your estimation, how are there issues around that? One of the reasons I'm asking is because I'm in Bar Harbor. I don't have to, say anything more than that. I'm just wondering, what's your overview, and are you finding certain issues arising?
You know, in my opinion, I don't really see any issues with it. I think there's a dedicated, you know, cruise facility with mm-hmm. access to U.S. Customs there. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a place for the ships to tie up. And I think the city and the state have set the port up nicely for passenger operations. So, frankly, I'd like to see more cruise ships there. But, you know, I mean, I think right now it's an appropriate level for the port. And I think the cruise passengers truly enjoy, you know, being able to see the ports here in Maine, and a lot of them come back. So, yeah.
Thank
Hopefully
you.
That answers your question, Madam Chair.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Did I see that they're going to be doing a dredging in Portland?
So right now the city is attempting to locate funds, you know, to do a waterfront wide, you know, dredge project for many of the privately owned and some municipally owned.
It's not a main dredge.
Well, it's not a dredge of the Federal Navigation Channel. Okay. So it's really just the piers and wharves, you know, central to the waterfront there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you,
sir.
So, thank you for being here. I'm one of the freshman lawmakers. So can you just help me with something really basic? Where is the Port Authority on the big transportation org chart?
So we're a, you know, quasi-governmental agency. So we're an independent, you know, state agency. We are very close partners with the Department of Transportation. So I'm formerly a DOT employee. I was the director of Ports and Marine Transportation with the DOT up until about May of last year. So we are independent of the DOT, but rely you know, chiefly on the DOT for capital funding, and just have a very close working relationship with the Transportation Commissioner.
And are you appointed by a board or by the governor? Or
I'm appointed by a 7-member board of directors. Yes, sir.
Okay. One quick follow-up, if I might. I know that in the worst part of the pandemic, in the news, we read a lot about backlogs in the California
sure.
ports. What was the experience in the main ports, and where do you feel you are now in relation to that?
Yeah, so I think we've rebounded, I think, overall very well in the state. I think out of all the port facilities in the state, I think Eastport probably suffered the most with a decline in business. I think their traditional business of you know, the export of wood pulp from the nearby Baileyville mill, I think it declined during that time. But you know, that's looking to hopefully rebound into the next year. You know, we've tried to make the port more competitive by moving a crane up there and doing certain things to help in any way we can. I think, you know, in Portland, we did notice a little bit of a decline in container volume just at the terminal that we operate, the IMT, but that quickly rebounded in 2020, and we saw actually a significant uptick in container volume. I think probably where we experienced the most difficulty was just kind of like the fringe aspects of the transportation system. So for instance, it was very difficult to find truck drivers. We operate a pretty substantial logistics business out of the International Marine Terminal. Truck power was a significant issue. I think there were a lot of delays with cargo coming through the Canadian border that you know affected us, but by and large, Maine's ports really did okay. We don't deal anywhere near the significant amount of volume that like LA Long Beach or New York, New Jersey handles on a daily basis. So we just didn't experience, you know, I guess, issues that were on the level that those major ports did. So
is your staffing level good now?
So interestingly enough, I am the only full-time staff member of the Maine Port Authority. So right now, you know, one of my big tasks is to grow the organization. We've actually hired a project manager who'll be starting at the end of this month. And we'd like to, you know, kind of grow our ranks from there. So it, you know, really, I think we're in kind of a growth mode. We utilize a lot of contracted personnel for like terminal operations at the IMT. We'll still likely continue to do that, but would also like to increase our workforce internally. There's a lot of ground to cover, you know, with over 3,000 miles of coastline. So you know, we want to try and have presence throughout the state. Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, just for context, could you give me an idea of how much freight or cargo comes in via our ports versus other modes of transportation for the state?
Yeah, you know, we do, I don't unfortunately have all the port statistics right here in front of me, but, you know, I can tell you that, for instance, I guess just comparatively, at the International Marine Terminal in Portland, we did about 40,000 20-foot equivalent units. So a standard 20-foot shipping container is measured in a TEU or a 20-foot equivalent unit. So, you know, I mean, that's a substantial growth from, you know, several years ago. I think back in 2018 when we had just broken 25,000 for the first time. So that container service continues to grow about 20% annually, year over year. That's, I guess, comparatively like what the Port of LA Long Beach does in about a day. So while we've experienced very significant growth, you know, on the scale of like a large container terminal like that, like one of the biggest ones in the country, it's a pretty small amount. I think, you know, like I said, I don't have the statistics, but I think that, you know, ocean freight is a significant factor in the overall, you know, amount of imports and exports, but still pretty low comparatively to like, you know, over the road transport from the Canadian border and things like that. So.
What contributes to that 20% growth year after year?
That's a great question. And I'm just talking specifically about the IMT in Portland, but, you know, Maine has the state has really decided to heavily invest in having our own container shipping terminal here in the state. I'd say that investment's paid off. So since 2013, when Aimskip first came to the Port of Portland, you know, it started off with a little and then grew a significant amount every year. And that's largely in part to the fact that Aimskip continued to bring the freight, sell the service, and really, you know, focus on business development, aggressive sales strategies, things like that. The state has in kind responded with aggressive investment in the infrastructure. We've done everything from replace the entire fleet of equipment there, double the amount of container handling cranes that we have at the facility. All of the port equipment has been refreshed and is new. Improvements to the wharf, expansion of the, you know, actual acreage and footprint of the facility. And then, like I said, in the next year, we'll be constructing the cold storage facility, which will really kind of propel the IMT into the next decade and truly make it a refrigerated hub here in the Northeast. So as long as we keep up with their growth of the shipping line, I think that we'll just continue to grow. And, you know, space is always an issue. That's kind of where we eventually will reach a stop. So then, you know, we'll have to think outside of the box a little bit. So either acquiring more land close by, an offsite container yard to kind of have an overflow facility. We'll have to get a little creative, but I'm pretty confident we'll get there. Yeah.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, you actually hit on what I was just going to bring up. Great. was the cold storage and the offsite possible containers yard, because I think I know a big issue over the last couple of years was getting containers out.
Sure.
And getting them trucked out. We have a lot of, because I lobster and we get a lot of bait. Sure. That comes through there. And it was an issue for some of the frozen markets to be able to get the actual containers out. And
right.
They'd spend a few weeks there longer than they needed to.
Sure.
Have you actually looked at any sites possibly for being able, I like on an offsite place, because I think the biggest problem is you're on Commercial Street.
Right.
It's really hard logistically to get the containers, trucks, everything out of there. And I know we added rail back in 2012 or 13 when Aimskip first came. And just wondering if it was possible to maybe speed up some of that, just so that you've got a site that might be more logistically to the turnpike and to, you know, for shipping throughout the state, throughout the New England.
Yeah, it's a great question. I think as far as I'm concerned, you know, we've done the proof of concept. Like we've started the shipping service. We've made investments at the terminal. We're a fully functional modern container shipping terminal. And that's saying something. But now that we've proved that concept, we've made the investment, we got the weekly service started. Now we really have to focus on, I mean, first and foremost, safety, but also efficiency. Because like you said, it, you know, long dwell times only end up costing the customer money in the end. And they congest the terminal and create all kinds of difficulties. So, you know, one of the things that we've committed to is trying to utilize the space that we have as efficiently as possible. You know, we have like a drop and pick yard in the west area of the terminal that we're actually looking to dedicate to refrigerated container storage. That'll help expand the facility. We'll also look at, you know, improving drive lanes and internal truck flow, more efficient equipment, to better handle containers, things like that. All of those things, I think, coupled together will do exactly what you're saying and help reduce dwell time at the terminal. You know, the other thing that, that we're interested in doing is actually building an internal haul road along the rail corridor that connects to the Merrill's terminal. You know, Aimskip's business has led to them leasing warehouse space down at their terminal, expanding their logistics operations further down Commercial Street. So by having that internal haul road, we'll be able to route truck traffic directly between the terminals without having to go out onto Commercial Street. I think all of those things will help achieve, you know, better efficiency in the long run. And really, I think, you know, like I said, safety is always paramount too. So volume has increased, activity inside the terminal is increased. It doesn't do you any good if you've achieved better efficiency, but have not improved your safety processes. So that's something that I'm really committed to and look forward to kind of improving all those things in the next, you know, few years. Yeah, you bet.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So some of the biggest bottlenecks you have are trucking, I would assume.
Correct.
Are you putting out more freight than is coming in, or is there more coming in containers than is going out?
Yeah, so we are heavy on the import side. We've always been that way since Aimskip started their service, but that has started to catch up. I would say it's about a 60-40 split heavy on the imports at this time. You know, I guess to me, not that you asked, but I would just say that I think the reason for that is because that service has become more regular and more reliable. I think it's helped encourage not just Maine businesses, but businesses in the region and throughout the United States to consider Portland as a viable alternative. We have great customer service. We operate with a very kind of small port mindset. I think that level of customer service and also competitive rates have helped bring that imbalance up more over the last several years. So we'd like to continue to have that catch up. We'd like to get more Maine businesses shipping through the terminal and just, you know, I guess, cater to a wider variety of customers if possible. So
I know a few years ago, I listened to somebody talking about the market for wood pellets and I was wondering, it just brought to mind, is there a particular industry in Maine that you see growing in the export business through your terminal that you view a bottleneck, maybe transporting from the pellet mill to the terminal or some other thing that we could kind of have on our radar as the year goes on?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, I think as far as like, you know, the Portland IMT is concerned, I mean, we're open to anything. And we would love to talk to any businesses that are looking to, you know, ship their products by container to international markets. I think as far as what you're talking about, you know, for wood pellets, I think there's a significant opportunity that's right in front of us right now. There was a project that was announced, you know, earlier in the winter, you know, about a potential pellet mill that would be constructed at the old Millinocket mill site, manufactured pellets by rail to the port of Searsport and export them through the port that way by vessel. I see that as being, you know, a project of very significant potential. I think it's something that the Maine DOT is interested in, the Maine Port Authority, and we would just do whatever we can to help support that and get that going, because I think we, you know, with ports, I guess we've been talking about pallets for a very long time. Nothing's ever really materialized, but I think this may be a real unique opportunity that would use a couple sites that, you know, are somewhat underutilized in that fashion. So hopefully that answered your question.
It did. Thank you very much.
You bet.
And I will throw out to you that there are some conversations going on with the owners of rail, like CSX,
sure,
about hooking them into that sort of import-export thing.
Sure.
Hopefully those come to some sort of good thing.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Yes, Representative
Albert. Thank you, ma'am. There was, at the existence of Loring Air Force Base, a pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
I think that came from the Sears port, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, sir, that's correct.
What is the condition of that pipeline? And do you see, if it's operable at this point, any future for it?
Yeah, I think, I think there's definitely potential there. I don't really have the answer to what the current condition is, but I do believe it would require some significant overhaul to start shipping product back through it either way. But I mean, it absolutely exists. It was not torn out or anything, I don't think, but I'm not sure if it is in need of total replacement or just significant overhaul, but I'd have to get back to you on that. So, but you know, the corridor exists. So
thank you.
Yep.
Thank you very much. That was really informative.
And Madam Chair, thank you very much. And members of the committee, thank you. Appreciate it. It's my pleasure.
I believe that it's time for a motion to adjourn.
I move to adjourn.
All in favor? We're adjourned.
Not that we were ever.